Good afternoon, BBC. We're very happy to be here with you guys today. We're very happy that you are here today to hear what we have to tell you. I'm actually going to be speaking out of the Bible today. So if you want a Bible, there's some over there at the red table. There's some Bibles over there, so if you want a Bible, go ahead and grab one. If not, that's fine. I'm reading. It's in the book of Jonah. It's chapter 3. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of God. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people of Nineveh, So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from his disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." We're actually going to pray now before I start, so I'm going to pray. You can pray with me if you'd like. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, God, that we have the freedom to come together, Lord, and just to hang out with one another, Lord. We're thankful for it, God. We pray now today that we would just hear from you, Lord, and that you would just be glorified today, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. A little background on Nineveh. Nineveh was the Assyrian capital of that time. It was the Assyrian capital. The population at the time that Jonah had actually gone to preach there was over 120,000 people, and Nineveh was actually prophesied against. And on the note of prophecy, Jonah was actually a prophet, and some background on him, Jonah was sent by God to warn Nineveh. He was disobedient to God. He ran from God. Jonah was punished. Jonah was actually swallowed by a great fish. He was forgiven by God. And then, obviously, here, he was used by God. He was used mightily. The reason that Jonah had to go to preach to Nineveh was actually in chapter 1 of this book. It says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Wickedness, I looked it up, and it actually means a few words. Wickedness means affliction, bad, calamity, displeasure, distress, evil, exceedingly great, grief, hurt, mischief, misery, sad, sorrow, wretchedness, and wrong. So, basically, Nineveh caused affliction to God. Nineveh was bad. Nineveh caused calamity to God. Nineveh caused displeasure to God. They caused distress to God. They were evil. They caused exceedingly great grief to God. They hurt God. Their lives were filled with mischief. They were miserable. They were sad. They had sorrow in their hearts. They were wretched, and Nineveh was wrong. They were wrong. Nineveh was in desperate need of what God had sent Jonah to preach them. They needed it more than they needed anything else. And Jonah had a mission, and maybe that's you today. Maybe you've come to BBC, you take classes because you have a mission in life, whether it be to follow a career path or to do something else. You have a mission in life. God had a plan or a mission for Nineveh. That's why Jonah was sent there. If you have a plan in your life, God also has a plan for your life. God's plan or mission for Nineveh was radical transformation, was to completely change them and turn them over and make them different. For that to happen, a few things had to take place first up. There had to be things that took place before Nineveh could even think about changing. The first thing is in verses 1 through 2. It reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." There had to be direction from God's word for the people of Nineveh to be changed. They were wicked people. They were completely just terrible, utterly wicked people, and they needed to be changed, and there had to be direction from God's word for them to change it. Without God's direction, Jonah would have never went there. As I said before, Jonah actually ran from God when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He ran from God. He didn't say, "Lord, I'll go straight to Nineveh as you call me." He said, "God, you say to go this way, I'm going that way." He took off. He went a completely different way. Without direction from God, he would have never gone. And God is so specific with direction in our lives. The thing about Jonah is that God gave Jonah specific orders to go to a specific place and to preach a specific message. Everything was completely specific. Go to Nineveh and preach the message that I gave you. Not preach the message of Jonah himself, but to preach the message that God had given Jonah. And when God puts specific calls on our lives, there's a few things that we tend to do. A lot of times we ignore it. We won't listen to it, we'll block it out, or we'll just forget about it. We push it off, we procrastinate on it. When God puts a call on our lives, we'll say, "I'll do it later, it'll be there next week." We just completely forget about it. And another thing that we do is we run from it. We run from the call of God in our lives, and really, we need to listen to it, we need to seize the moment of it, and we need to run towards it. We have to listen to it. When God's calling you in your life, He's calling you for a specific reason. Not because He feels like it, because He wants to, because it's a specific reason for it. We have to listen to it. We have to seize the moment. Things change radically in an instance. It's like we don't even realize it. An example is the devastation, the earthquake in Haiti. They didn't see that coming. That was just a complete... It was just no one knew it was coming. Things change in an instant. And the last thing we have to do is we have to run towards the call of God. We run from it, we have to run towards it. Another thing that had to take place before Nineveh could be actually changed are in verses 3 and 4. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And he cried out and said, "You have 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." Action has to take place. We need to take some action on it. We can't just hear it and then blow it off. And when God directs us, we have to take action upon it. He's directing us, like I have said, for a reason. We can't ignore it. We have to take action upon it. We have to act upon it. Act upon God putting that call in your life. When we're seeking, maybe you actually are still sitting here today because you saw the title of what we're doing right now, and it was actually called Transformed. Maybe that's why you're sitting here, is because you want to be transformed. For you to be transformed, you have to take action. You have to work. You have to take it upon yourself to then take action and to call upon God. I heard the story of a man named Larry Walters. He was 33, and he actually, he wanted to see his neighborhood at a different view than from his front yard. So he went to his military surplus store and actually bought 45 used weather balloons. 45 used weather balloons. That afternoon, he actually went and strapped himself to a lawn chair and strapped the balloons to it and went up in the air with a BB gun and a sandwich. He went up with the BB gun thinking that when he was done, he could just shoot the balloons and come down. Thinking that he would go maybe 100 feet in the air, he actually ended up flying 11,000 feet in the air. It was in the air traffic of LAX. So he's sitting there in the middle of LAX air traffic. He was up there for 2 hours. And when he finally came down, the news reporter soon after asked him, "Were you scared?" He said, "Yes." "Would you do it again?" He said, "No." "Why did you do it?" They said, "Because you can't just sit there. You can't just sit there. You have to take action upon that thing, on things like that." That man wanted to go up and see his neighborhood from a different view. He wasn't going to sit there and go down the street. He went in the air. You have to take the action upon it. Take action if you want to be transformed. The next thing is in verse 5. It's only in the first part. It says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God." The people of Nineveh believed God. You have to believe. Belief really needs to take place before anything else can. You have to believe that God can change you. It doesn't matter what you're into right now, what you do, what you've done. God can completely change you. He can and He will if you want, if you ask Him for it. We have to believe that God can radically change us for it to even happen. One definition of believe was verify. To verify. We actually have to verify our belief in God by telling Him. By just flat out saying, God, I believe You can change me. You can change me, God. We have to just completely put it before God and tell Him, You can change me. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to tell Him, we have to tell the people around us that You can change me, God. Believe has to be an active verb in our lives. It needs to be an active verb. It has to. Believe is a verb. It's not a word that's just, okay, yeah, I believe. We have to act upon it, like I had said before. There needs to be action in that belief. We have to completely, it has to be an active verb. God can't make that change until you believe. If you don't believe something, why is it going to happen? Why is God going to do it? I don't believe this, but okay, you know, God did it anyway. He changed me. I'm completely different now. Belief needs to take place in our lives completely. The next thing is in verse 5 and 6. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, putting on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This king hears that he's wretched, that he's wrong, and that he is completely against God, and he puts sackcloth on. Now, sackcloth, and when it was in the Bible, when they would wear sackcloth, it was actually in a time of mourning. Mourning of sin needs to take happen before we can be changed at all. It was worn when people would mourn a death usually, and when the animals, as we see here, when the animals were even wearing sackcloth, it was a time of national mourning. The entire city, entire capital of Assyria, Nineveh, was mourning because they knew that they had wronged God. They knew that they had gone against God and that they were wrong. We have to mourn our sin. To be transformed, we have to mourn our sin. Meaning, the national time of mourning doesn't mean we walk around all the time and we get sad and we just, you know, cry or whatever. The national time of mourning sin means that we come before God, we take time out of our day to come before God and say, you know what, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. I apologize for it. Apologize to God. Don't just blow it off and say, I'm sorry, and then go on and continue doing it. You have to have a serious heart in mourning. Think of when you mourn the loss of a loved one. Someone you know who's died. Someone you love who's died. You're going to mourn that loss. You're sad. You're completely upset about it because you love that person and they're now gone. They're not a part of your lives anymore. We have to mourn when we sin because it separates us from God that much more. Our sin, it pulls us apart from God that much more. You see, in the beginning of time, we were with God. Man was with God. They were together. But then sin entered into the world, and now we're separated from God. We're completely, here's God and here's us. We're in two different parts. We're separated from Him. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, because you're going to be comforted. It's not like you're mourning in vain. You're not just mourning to mourn and to be done with it. You're mourning for comfort. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed or blessed, it means to receive a gift of some sort, to receive a gift. Blessed are those who mourn for their sin against God. And it's not just a thing where we go through the motions of mourning every day. It's a thing where our hearts are actually upset because we've sinned against God. We are actually heartbroken because this is God who's loved me so much. He's created me. He's given me these things in our lives. Life itself is just a blessing. To even be alive is just, it's a blessing. We're alive. We're breathing right now. We're sitting here together. we're blessed by that. And that should be the source of our mourning, is that we're just so upset because God has given us so much, has given us life. He gives us this campus where we can learn, even if we don't like our classes. I go to school, I don't like my classes at all, but we have to remember that they're from God. They're a gift of God. They've come straight from Him. Translating the verse, blessed are those who seek forgiveness, for they shall find it. Blessed are those who seek forgiveness, they will find it. You have to look for forgiveness. It's not just it's not going to be thrown at you. You have to look for it. You have to ask God for the forgiveness of your sins. You have to seek it. The forgiveness of God is such a great gift, because we do so many things wrong. Every little thing that we do wrong, whether we lie, we cheat, we steal, whatever it is, it's wrong. When you're born, when you're younger, you know what's wrong to lie to your parents. When you're 5, you know what's wrong. You know what's wrong to steal. You know it. It's been written on your heart. It's wrong. And that mourning, when we do something like that, when something wrong to a greater extent, there needs to be the mourning of that. There needs to be the mourning of our own sin. Another thing in verse 7 that needs to happen, and He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Self-sacrifice needs to take place. I'm not saying go kill yourself for God, go slit your wrists, go put yourself on an altar and just murder yourself for God, but self-sacrifice is in. Get over yourself and die to yourself. Get over what you want to do. Stop seeking yourself and start seeking the Lord. Get over your own desires and the things that you want to do in your life, everything that you want, the new cell phone, the new laptop, whatever it is. Get over it and seek the Lord. Seek God. Romans 12:1 says that we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. As a living sacrifice. Our lives need to be focused around God. They need to be focused around Him. He needs to be the source for everything we do, the reason that we do it. It's plain and simple. There are reasons for living is to bring glory to God. It says in 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Do it to glorify the Lord. Whatever you do, whether it's you're hanging out with your friends, you're talking to your parents, eating, whatever it is, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Sacrifice needs to be made in our lives. One man once said, the important thing is this, to be able to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. Sacrifice what you are right now for what you could become. And what you can become is God's children. You can inherit eternity with God forever. It's eternity. Eternity is forever, obviously. And we'll spend it in heaven with God. God's children will spend it in heaven with Him. Sacrifice what you are for what you can become. Get rid of what you are, the thing that you are today, so that you can become children of God. What we are as people, as humans, is sin. We are sin. And sin is described as this. Sin was used as an archer shooting for a target and completely going off the target. Going off target of God. That's what sin is. That's how sin was defined back, I don't even know when, I can't even tell you when. We have to sacrifice ourselves to be that person that just wants to live for God. We have to die to the sin that's in our lives and that's in our hearts and just completely live for God. On the note of dying to sin, in verse 8 it says, let man and beast be covered in sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from his violence. Repentance needs to be brought up also. To repent is to turn away from. To completely turn away from. It would be like me turning around and facing the wall right now. That would be repentance. The radical transformation of Nineveh started here because they started to repent from their ways. They started to turn from their evil, from the wickedness that was in their hearts that had come up before God, and they turned away, and that's where the transformation started, and that's where it starts with us. We turn away from the things that we do, and we say, God, I want to, as I said before, I want to be that sacrifice for you. I want to live my life for you. We have to repent from our sin. The people, they were changed. Nineveh was changed. They were radically and completely just insanely changed because of their repentance. But it wasn't by their own work. It wasn't by their repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. We have to ask God for that repentance. The people of Nineveh, they had no part in their transformation. They had no part in it. Because God had given them the gift of repentance. And repentance, like I said, is a complete gift straight from God. Repentance isn't of me, it isn't of you or anyone else. It is of God. The Holy Spirit, it convicts us. And what the Holy Spirit is, it's the Spirit of God. It convicts us and it gives us the repentance that we need. You see, the people of Nineveh, they were on the road to hell. They were on their way, they were going straight down. They had set their ways up and they went to hell with the Holy Spirit. God had sent Jonah, the Holy Spirit, to come into that city, and he convicted them of their sin. And like I said before, the thing that gets them off target of God. They were convicted by it. They were changed by God because of it. And they had faith. In verse 9, it says, who can tell if God will turn away and relent and turn away? Who will tell if God can turn away and relent from his fierce anger so that we would not be perished? Who can tell if God will turn away and repent? They had complete faith. They said, we've done this. I don't know if God's going to turn away and not if he's going to spare us, but I'm going to have faith that he might. Faith in God, it has to take place. It has to take place to be changed. The Bible says that it's by grace, through faith, that we're saved. When I say saved, I mean it means we're saved from hell. We're saved from spending eternity in a place that we don't want to be. God's been gracious enough to us to offer his own salvation up. To offer his salvation to us. He's been gracious enough. Verse 10, it says that God saw their works. God saw the works of the people of Nineveh. The fruit has to come up. You have to show God that you're serious about it. God will spare them. One work that was done for us so that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. One work that is the story of a man who was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And you probably heard of him. His name was Jesus Christ, actually. The Bible, it tells us that he came to the earth and he lived his life serving other people. And then he eventually made the ultimate sacrifice for us and died upon the cross. He made that complete and perfect sacrifice, and he was the sacrifice for our sins. He died for us so that we wouldn't have to go through hell. We wouldn't have to be in hell. Christ's sacrifice, he was in his life, unlike us, he was completely sinless and completely perfect. He was complete. John's going to come up and play another song for us. And if you want to be completely changed by God, then there's going to be people here. We're all here to just talk to you and to pray with you and to be there for you. God had completely, radically changed the people of Nineveh. They were completely in their own sin, and God changed them. And if that's you today, you feel like you can't be changed, God is mighty enough to where he can change you. So John is actually going to come up right now and play a song for us on his piano. So let's go ahead and welcome John. If you want prayer, we're all here for you, all right? Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for coming out and joining us today. Glad you guys can make it. Thank you, Joe, for your message. I pray that all you guys have heard that you took that to heart, and that throughout this week you think about the things that he said, because these are serious things. And when he talked about eternity, you know, eternity is something that we can't really grasp. you know, we're bound by time, and time that's running out. You know, this world, this time is like a flash in our eyes. You know, in a blink of an eye, you could be dead. You know, you could walk out of here, get hit by a car, or just get shot. I don't even know. You know, it could be anything. You could be sick with something. I don't know what it is. You know what your problems are. You know, if you have cancer or some sickness. But when you enter into eternity, that's forever. You can't grasp that. And it's serious, you know, where you're going to spend your eternity. It's either heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no middle ground. It's either heaven or hell. You're either for him or against him. And I just think that you guys should all take that to heart throughout the week. And if you need anything, we're all here for you guys today. I just thank you.